alayhi wa alayhi, as well as the teachings of the Holy Quran. We find that there is a great importance given to children and taking care of children, helping children, and there's a very special place given to children in Islam. We find that the Messenger of Allah, sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi, would play with children in the streets or in the masjid, in the mosque. We always saw the Messenger of Allah, sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi, play and love his grandchildren, Imam Hassan alayhi salam and Imam Hussein alayhi salam. And so when we look at the universal persona of Imam Ali alayhi salam, we see the same thing. His Eminence, the first divinely appointed Imam, when he did have time, of course, because he was incredibly busy with defending Islam in the various wars, or when he was busy in the collection of the Holy Quran, or whether it was during his own Khilafah and he was faced with the various different battles that he had to. So when he did have time, he paid special attention to children. Of course, he had a hand in raising his own children, children who went on to become the future divinely appointed imams. In the present day, when we realize that this is a part of the universal persona of Imam Ali alayhi salam, to take care of children, to help children, we see in the issue of Palestine and Gaza in the present day that children are one of the most apparent and manifest victims of what is going on. Children whose futures are pretty much in rubble, just like the buildings around them. Children who have been traumatized by the death of close and near ones, the death of parents or relatives, children who have been traumatized by the destruction of buildings and schools, the destruction of their homes, the destruction of their playgrounds. These children are one of the most sad and tragic victims of what is going on in this current onslaught against the Palestinians by the Zionist regime and their backers. And so if only the world would go to the doorstep of Imam Ali alayhi salam and learn from His Eminence's personality and persona and realize that children are something that are incredibly special, they are incredibly innocent, and they are the precious gems of the future. And for both sides, one, we feel this remorse and this sadness for the children of Palestine, and the other side, we have this great anger towards the Zionist regime, which has no barriers, it has no limits, and even innocent children are the target of their immense hatred. Beautiful lessons brought to us by the universal persona of Imam Ali alayhi salam.
Assalamu alaikum to you, dear listeners of iRabbi English Radio, the program To My Brother. This moment, I invite you to listen to the Arabic text of Ziyara Aminullah along with the English translation. Please stay tuned.
Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. أشهد أنك جاهدت في الله حق جهاده وعملت بكتابه واتبعت سنن نبيه.
I testify that you made utmost efforts, as it should be, in the cause of Allah, acted upon his book. Follow the way of life of his prophet, blessings of Allah be on him and his children, to the last moment of your life, until Allah invited you to come unto him and used his discretion to take you away and sealed your enemy's doom with the blame that the arguments had been made known to one and all through you. O Allah, let me be happy and satisfied with that which thou considers good for me. Let me agree with that which thou decides for me. Let me passionately remember thee and invoke thee. Let me be in love with thy pure and sincere friends. Let me be well-liked and respected on the earth and in the heavens. Let me be unruffled and well-composed in the midst of misfortunes. Let me be gratefully thankful in prosperity. Let me be mindful of much and more bounties. Let me ardently desire for the heart-warming meeting with thee, well-equipped with piety to gain my end on the day of requital. Let me follow into the footsteps of thy representatives. Let me disassociate myself from the mannerism of thy enemies. Let me pass my time in this world by praising and glorifying thee. كل صبح وكل شراب أيام تبقى عيني بدمع مشتاب أيام قد لسعت حية الهوى كبدي فلا تبي ولها ولا راغي
Now let's listen to Brother Muhammad Al-Hilli, who's going to talk about today's topic.
Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed upon the messenger the infallible book that accepts no falsehood or error, which shall stay like this till the day of judgment. Finally, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala did not give people what Allama calls al-quwwatul qudsiyya, or the spiritual power. What is this? He explains that with many people, the faculty of desire, anger, imagination, etc. is usually overpowering, is what controls our actions. And this can be seen across centuries. He then goes on to extensively show that through rational discussion and pondering and reflection, that an imam is needed to guide mankind towards God and what they need to achieve in order to gain success, given the principles just outlined. He emphasizes a lot on the obligation of lutuf, the kind compassion, and how the Creator has made it incumbent upon himself not to leave mankind astray without the correct leadership. Allama Al-Hilli presents hundreds of points to demonstrate the belief in Isma, the error-free divine grace that indeed we believe Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala granted the prophets and the Ahlul Bayt alayhim as-salam. For example, he states that if the imam was not ma'soom, if he was not error-free or sinless, he would need the help of others. And if others are better in one aspect, this doesn't make that person an imam chosen by Allah to lead, since he would not be indeed sufficient, and indeed would be insufficient, requiring other individuals' helps. The law of lutuf, special compassion of Allah, for his servants entails that he grants isma to those that he chooses so that they are followed, are correct role models and guides, and of course gain the trust of the people. Amongst the many Quranic verses he cites is, for example, the one in Surah Yunus chapter 10 verse 35. أَفَمَنْ يَهْدِي إِلَى الْحَقِّ حَقُّ أَنْ يُتَّبَعَ أَمَّنْ لَا يَهِدِّي إِلَّا أَنْ يُهْدَى. Is he who guides to the truth worthier to be followed, or he who is not guided unless he is shown the way? Now Allama states that the non-ma'soom cannot be followed as a leader, as they need guidance themselves, whereas the ma'soom has been guided by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and therefore in the position to give guidance to others. There are many other proofs presented in this book, but sadly I have not seen a translation of this book, Kitab al-Alfain, to English. And I hope that one day it will be translated, inshallah, for the benefit of the masses, especially at a time where the subject of imama is being questioned and much confusion spread by certain individuals.
Dear listeners, we hope you enjoyed this episode of To My Brother. Don't forget to visit our website at parstoday.ir/en, Call of Islam page. We leave you in Allah's care. Bye for now.
Mother, don't cry for me. I'm heading off to war. God Almighty is my armor and sword. Palestine, forever Palestine. Children being killed for throwing stones in the sky. They say to their parents, don't worry, God is on our side. Palestine, forever Palestine.
The wildfires in Greece, Turkey, the United States.
Palestinian prisoners in Israeli jails continue to engage in hunger strikes.
Kim Yo-jong, the powerful sister of North Korean leader.
On the news line.
Since the creation of Israel, the regime has tightened its political and economic grip on the life of Palestinians. In 1995, under the Oslo II Accord, an interim agreement was reached on the West Bank and the Gaza Strip. The agreement envisioned the establishment of a Palestinian interim self-government in the Palestinian territories. It divided the Israeli-occupied West Bank into three administrative divisions. Restrictions on economic activity in Area C of the West Bank have been particularly detrimental to the Palestinian economy. But Israel's continued attacks on Palestinians there, the demolition of their homes and businesses, uprooting olive trees and checkpoints, have choked the economy.
Israel has proposed zeroing out Egypt's debt, or portion of it, if it allows Palestinians from the Gaza Strip to resettle in the Sinai Peninsula, something that Egypt has rejected outright. You see, Egypt is currently mired in a debt crisis. It owes more than $52 billion to multilateral institutions, at least 44.7% of it, that is, which is owed to the IMF alone. Now, the other proposal that is thrown about is the forced Israeli transfer of Palestinians from the occupied territories of the West Bank to Jordan, especially since Jordan already hosts a large Palestinian population and it has signed a peace treaty with Israel. Apparently, that is why Amman announced recently that it plans to beef up its military presence along its long border. The Jordanian PM has said producing the conditions that would lead to forcible displacement by Israel is tantamount to declaring war on us. All signs in the occupied West Bank are pointing to Israel's intent. Since October 7, these are the stats. 3,200 Palestinians arrested, over 250 killed, more than 1,100 displaced from their homes, and in terms of demolitions, there have been more than 890 since the start of 2023, 139 since October 7. It's an open secret that Israel wants all of Palestine and wants all of the Palestinians out of Palestine. Israeli officials have come out back to back making suggestions on the forced displacement of Palestinians, which is a war crime in itself. The latest was the Israeli intel minister, who said instead of funneling money to rebuild Gaza or to the failed UNRWA, the international community can assist in the cost of resettlement, helping the people of Gaza build new lives in their new host countries. Now, this is ethnic cleansing disguised as humanitarianism. And finally, U.S. military assistance to Egypt and Jordan cannot be forgotten. Both countries rank in the top five when it comes to U.S. military assistance, which is another way for these two countries to follow U.S. foreign policy, especially when it comes to Israel. These figures show U.S. aid to Jordan, Egypt, and Israel. The amount of aid going to cash-strapped Egypt and Jordan is not something that the two countries can give up that easily, which is something the U.S. can actually use in the forced displacement of Palestinians as a temptation.
Weeks of relentless Israeli onslaught on the Gaza Strip has raised concerns about the health situation there. The World Health Organization has warned that more people could die from diseases than from bombings in the Gaza Strip if the health and sanitation systems are not repaired.
Actually, we will see more people dying from disease than we are even seeing from the bombardment if we are not able to put back this health system and provide the basics of life, food, water, medicines, and of course fuel to operate the hospitals.
Critical infrastructure in the besieged territory has been crippled by fuel and supply shortages and targeted attacks on hospitals and the UN facilities since Israel launched strikes on Gaza on October the 7th. All key sanitation services have ceased operating in Gaza, which raises the prospect of an enormous surge of gastrointestinal and infectious diseases among the local populations, including cholera. For Gaza's 2.3 million residents, half of whom are children, finding drinkable water has become close to impossible. The WHO has recorded more than 44,000 cases of diarrhea and 70,000 acute respiratory infections, but real numbers may be significantly higher. Diarrhea increased by 45 times compared with the same period last year, and other diseases from respiratory infections to hygiene issues such as lice have risen. Almost three-quarters of hospitals in Gaza and two-thirds of primary health care clinics have shut down because of damage from hostilities or lack of fuel.
No medicines, no vaccination activities, no access to safe water and hygiene, and no food. We saw a very high number of cases of diarrhea among infants. And again, there was no treatment available for them. You know, if you have a child with diarrhea, you need to give them rehydration in order to keep them.
The health needs of the population of Gaza have increased dramatically, but they are now being serviced by one-third of the hospitals and primary care clinics. And with severe overcrowding, the risks are increasing for epidemics of respiratory tract infections, acute watery diarrhea, hepatitis, scabies, lice, and other diseases.
Health facilities in the Gaza Strip have borne the brunt of Israel's brutal war. Officials have described the situation in northern Gaza as catastrophic amid a lack of medicine and fuel.
The situation is very difficult. The patients, the injured, and the martyrs are lying on the ground. The medical staff is not enough, and there are no treatments. My brother is injured, and his condition is very difficult. We wait all day for treatments and medications. There are no medicines and medical equipment.
They say hospital beds are completely full, and wounded people are lying on the ground. Experts now warn the humanitarian crisis would deepen fast if Israel started bombing Gaza again, because people have been so weakened by almost 2 months of attacks. UN officials have warned that alleviating the crisis requires the urgent entry of additional aid and supplies in a smooth, predictable, and continuous manner to lessen the unbearable suffering of Palestinians in Gaza. Despite the temporary truce agreements between Israel and Hamas, officials in Gaza say no fuel had arrived for generators at hospitals in the territory's north. They say that without fuel, the territory could not pump clean water or clear waste accumulating in the streets, warning of a potential public health catastrophe.
Pursuant to the health status in the northern Gaza Strip, only three hospitals are still operating, but they cannot cover the health requirements inside the Gaza Strip, as these hospitals are small and there are 900,000 people left. In addition, the health situation in the northern Gaza Strip is currently desperate because of the inaccessibility of medical aid and fuel to the hospitals in the north.
United Nations Children's Funds is also working on creating safe places for children, but it needs a longer break in fighting to heal.
Threats to children are very much from the air and now very much on the ground. He was terrified as a medical professional in terms of the disease outbreak that is lurking here and how that will devastate children who are immune systems and lack of food already is making them perilously weak. Again, anecdotally, as a non-medical professional, when I'm in hospitals, it's children with wounds of war and it's children with gastro and who are sick everywhere. And I meet a lot of parents who are medical professionals or at least have master's degrees. They know exactly what their children need. They don't have access.
Meanwhile, UN reports that Israeli bombardments have destroyed or damaged 60% of homes in the besieged territory. It's said in Gaza City and North Gaza specifically, intense bombing has resulted in damage to over 50% of all buildings. The report said the strikes have also caused widespread damage to roads and essential infrastructure, such as power systems and distribution networks and water supply equipment.
Kissinger, influential American politician and career diplomat, has died at the age of 100. Kissinger served as both National Security Advisor and Secretary of State under President Richard Nixon and continued as Secretary of State under Nixon's successor, Gerald Ford. However, he left a dark legacy ranging from supporting dictators and terror squads to directing coups and ordering war crimes. Kissinger is known for his role in carpet bombing of Cambodia during the Vietnam War, which caused the death of 150,000 civilians in a neutral country. The indiscriminate bombing campaign was expressed in Kissinger's infamous order to an American general when he said, quote, anything that flies and anything that moves. The civilian death toll in Cambodia was more than those killed in U.S.-led wars against several West Asian countries over the past two decades. Kissinger's genocidal campaign also enabled the rise of Cambodia's Khmer Rouge dictatorship. Yet, ironically enough, Kissinger was awarded a Nobel Peace Prize for ending a war which he had blood on his hands. Kissinger was also involved in a CIA-hatched coup against Chile's socialist leader, Salvador Allende, in 1973. The coup was followed by a regional campaign of political repression and assassination in South America, dubbed Operation Condor. That resulted in the killing of 50,000 people, as well as disappearance and imprisonment of nearly 500,000 people in several South American countries under U.S. ally dictatorships. Kissinger also supported former West Pakistan dictator Yahya Khan, whose army carried out a massive genocidal campaign against Bengali-speaking people in East Pakistan that led to the 1971 war and finally the creation of Bangladesh. Kissinger's other infamous moves include his support for Indonesian leader Suharto, who invaded East Timor in 1975. Tens of thousands of Timorese people were killed in two decades of occupation initiated by Suharto. Kissinger also presided over a writing of a secret national security memo in 1974 recommending the U.S. government to force depopulation on third world countries to weaken their national power, ensure America's access to their resources, and prevent young population rising against U.S. imperialist control. After leaving government in 1977, Kissinger remained a prominent voice in foreign policy circles for decades. Even into his late 90s, he continued attending global events, consulting business clients, and privately advising American presidents. He has been lauded for his incredibly sharp memory and unique analytic powers. But his bloody record is a testimony that superior human intelligence combined with inferior moral sensitivities can be a source of incredible evil rather than good.
on the release of Palestinian captives, Israel said no celebrations or they will be arrested again, showing Israel's dehumanizing behavior. Palestinians celebrated anyways. When it comes to Israel's genocidal war on Gaza, Israel has failed. To begin with, it lost the war from day one, when Operation Al-Aqsa Flood was executed by Hamas resistance fighters. The truce is another sign of Israel's failure, since it was not able to defeat one of its stated goals, the destruction of Hamas. According to senior Hamas official Osama Hamdan, Israel has also suffered a military defeat. Since October 7th, between 70 to 80 Israeli soldiers have been taken out by Hamas fighters, while 385 tanks have been destroyed. But another front that Israel has suffered a defeat, a humiliating one at that,
do not look away,
is the social media war. Not only has Israel lost the information war, Western media, no matter how hard they have tried, could not silence pro-Palestinian voices. Social media networks have also tried in vain to block and delete anti-Israeli posts, which they called anti-Semitic, like Facebook. Facebook approved ads that contained sentences like murder Palestinian civilians, wipe out Gazan women, children, and the elderly. The U.S. has played a dubious role when it comes to its stance on the Israeli war in Gaza. On the one hand, the U.S. Secretary of State Blinken is said to want to press Israel to end the war in his upcoming trip to the region. This is while the U.S. President will move to grant Israel unfettered access to U.S. weapons stockpile. The U.S. President has also said eliminating Hamas is very difficult, but not impossible, which is part of the reason why pro-Palestinian protests have continued unabated around the world, since many see the U.S. key in ending the war. Many celebrities have come out in support of Palestine and against U.S. unwavering support for Israel, especially when it comes to military aid. U.S. actress and activist Cynthia Nixon has launched a hunger strike, calling for a permanent ceasefire in Gaza in front of the White House in Washington, D.C., an unprecedented move by a Hollywood actress.
To have a hunger strike to get attention, but also to say, yes, we are bombing and killing Palestinians in that way, but we're also starving them. 7% of the nutrition that's needed for a population of 2 million people has been allowed into Gaza. And so certainly many people are dying from bombs, but so many people in Gaza are on the hunger, on the precipice of starvation. And so that's why we're having a hunger strike to reflect the horror of that.
She was joined by state legislators and activists also.
I think about how much anxiety and depression and fear and all those emotions that Gazans are feeling every day.
We have lost an entire society. Cities have been flattened. And if President Biden does not demand a permanent ceasefire, all of Gaza could be lost.
Israel is so afraid of the backlash. The Israeli lobby has offered $20 million to a candidate of Arab origin to compete with U.S. Senator Rashida Tlaib in the Michigan elections.
I was offered $20 million to withdraw from the senatorial race and run against my friend Rashida Tlaib.
As if that wasn't enough, the Israeli lobby is so worried about U.S. Congress dissent due to the war that it was reported it spent big money trying to purge its critics from the Democratic Party.
The pro-Israel lobby will go to any length to remove anybody from the U.S. Congress that has any opposition to their agenda and their total, unequivocal support for Israel, good, bad, or indifferent.
وقضى ربك ألا تعبدوا إلا إياه وبالوالدين إحسانا.
Your Lord has decreed that you shall not worship anyone except him, and he has enjoined kindness to parents.
For humanity.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah. This is Hussein Latifi and you're listening to your program for humanity from IRIB English Radio. In this program, we are talking about the concept of human being in the Holy Quran and how the Holy Quran sees human being as a being that is in motion and in a journey. And this journey is inevitable, but the destination and the direction of this journey is optional. You and I can choose what direction or what destination we can have in this journey, but we cannot decide whether to be in a journey or not. We are already in a journey, and there is no way to stop. But there is a way to choose the right path. Then Quran tells us how we can choose the right direction and what are the elements there. One of them is the faith, the other is Al-Amal al-Salih, and we were talking about the obstacles in choosing the right direction and destination, and one of them was shaitan. And we wanted to emphasize on the fact that shaitan does not have control over people in the sense that the evil spirit that comes and resides in some people's bodies. And no, this is not what Quran says about shaitan. For some people, shaitan and iblis is equal to black magic, which is completely a different discussion. Shaitan in the Holy Quran is that being that is capable of influencing people out of the decisions that these people had made previously. If they have given room to shaitan because of their mistakes, and now shaitan gets over them. Like, for example, in the verse that we have today, استحوذ عليهم الشيطان فأنساهم ذكر الله. There are some people for whom there is no hope for change towards a better situation, towards perfection. Why? Because استحوذ عليهم الشيطان. Shaitan has already taken the lead, has already taken the steering wheel, has already taken over these people. استحوذ means has full control over them. But this full control did not happen out of nowhere or thin air. No. This full control came as a result of these people continuously doing wrong actions, continuously ignoring the calls of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, continuously worshipping their desire. أَفَرَأَيْتَ مَنَ اتَّخَذَ إِلَٰهَهُ هَوَىٰ. They continuously worshipped shaitan and the desire. Then shaitan takes control over them. فَأَنْسَاهُمْ ذِكْرَ اللَّهِ. Now, what he does to them is that they... Shaitan makes them forget Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala altogether, as if there is no concept as God or the hereafter or anything. In another verse, لا تكونوا كالذين نسوا الله فأنساهم أنفسهم. Do not be like the ones who forget Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and then Allah makes it for them to forget themselves as well. Like the way knowledge of the self is equal to knowledge of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The correct knowledge of the self. If a person correctly knows himself, he knows Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He knows that how much he's poor, how much he needs a creator. It's the opposite. If a person loses that understanding, that awareness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he loses the understanding and awareness of himself. Maybe you ask, no, they are enjoying life. That's the whole point. They have forgotten their soul. They have sacrificed their true soul to their desire. What they think is they themselves, it's their desire. They think they do not exist except the desires that they have. This is hawa. So they have sacrificed all the dimensions of their spirit to that one dimension of pleasure. So this is true to say that they have forgotten themselves. They have forgotten the true self, the true awareness that they had of themselves. We will have a break and we come back to continue this verse and this discussion.
Dear listeners, you are listening to the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran. You can send us your emails, comments, and questions at englishradio@irib.ir.
Welcome back. This is Hossein Latifi, and you're listening to your program for Humanity from IRIB English Radio. We were talking about how shaitan gets over some people. There was this verse, Istahwadha alayhum ash-shaytan. Shaitan gets over, has taken over these people. فَأَنْسَاهُمْ ذِكْرَ اللَّهِ. Shaitan has made them forget remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. أُولَٰئِكَ حِزْبُ الشَّيْطَانِ. These are the people, the party of shaitan. These are the people of shaitan. أَلَا إِنَّ حِزْبَ الشَّيْطَانَ هُمُ الْخَاسِرُونَ. Verily, the party of shaitan are the ones who are losers. So this somehow wraps up the whole thing that happens, the relationship that happens between man and shaitan. He starts gradually, he uses some techniques, scaring, giving false promises, waswasa, and temptation, and then decoration of the wrong actions, destroying one's moral compass, destroying one's moral and ideological correct judgments. And then once this takes place, the person does not have any independence from shaitan. He becomes one of the members of Hizb al-Shaitan. And then we have other verses that say, Shayateen al-Jinni wal-Ins. Some human beings, they turn into shaitan themselves. So shaitan is not the name of an entity. His name is Iblis, as you know. But shaitan is that word that can describe anyone who is like that Iblis. And Shayateen al-Ins, it's possible that some people turn into shaitan themselves. And we should be careful not to start from the first steps. لَا تَتَّبُوا خُطُوَاتِ الشَّيْطَانِ. Be careful. إِنَّ الشَّيْطَانَ لَكُمْ عَدُوٌّ. Reminding us, because some people, the heedlessness that they have, forgetfulness that they have, they take it easy, like shaitan is just a superstition. No, Quran says, إِنَّ الشَّيْطَانَ لَكُمْ عَدُوٌّ. Be careful. You have an enemy. It's not like that doesn't exist. It's not like that it can't do anything. No, he can do something, but you should know what he can do in order to stop it. He can invest in your weaknesses. He can take the lead if you just let things go and don't care about the weak points in your soul. So once you know them, you can counter, you can somehow oppose his attacks. And inshallah, with the help of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, as shaitan himself says, لَأُغْوِيَنَّهُمْ أَجْمَعِينَ. I will deviate all of them. إِلَّا عَبَادَكَ مِنْهُمُ الْمُخْلَصِينَ. Only those whom you purify, I cannot do anything. مُخْلَص means those people whom Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has purified. And the best example of مُخْلَصُون are مَعْسُومُون, infallible imams and the prophets. But it's possible for some other people also to get close to this rank by following the orders, by following the examples, the lives of and sayings of the Prophet and Awliya Allah and Imma alayhim as-salam. So this is about the other obstacle, which was shaitan. We talked about one obstacle, which was carnal desire of the soul, hawa. This one was shaitan. This another one that we can say that has been referred to in the Holy Quran is habit. Sometimes wrong habits are actually problematic. And in order for us to get rid of some of the mistakes and sins and problems and vices, we need to change the habit. So, inshallah, in the following episode, we talk about the teachings that we have, both in the Holy Quran and in Ahadith, about how habit can stop us from achieving bad habit, actually. Can stop us from achieving the perfection that Quran has designated for us, and how we can, with the help of Allah, change those bad habits, break those bad habits, and make them into good habits, inshallah. Thank you very much for listening. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
صلى الله على النبي صلى الله على محمد وعلى آل النبي.
Our voice comes from the heart of beautiful Iran. This is the Heart of Life Pounding. IRIB English Radio.
Fiqh or jurisprudence is an Islamic knowledge and is ranked
The Holy Prophet of Islam is the example
of
Self-purification is the most significant
factor.
Imamat is a living principle in the history of Islam and Shiism.
This is Ulama Speech, the best selection of the speeches of prominent Shia scholars.
Assalamu alaikum, dear listeners of IRIB English Radio, Call of Islam page. Well, welcome to another episode of the program Ulema's Speech. In this episode, we invite you to listen to the English translation of a short speech by the late Ayatollah Khushvaqt. Please stay tuned.
پروردگار متعال انسان رو طوری ساخته و به وجود آورده که به تنهایی نمیتونه زندگی کنه.
Allah the Almighty has created humans in a way they cannot live alone. Rather, members of mankind should live together and each one take a job so that there will be a community which provides the needs of everyone. Thus, mankind appeals for a civil life in nature and cannot live individually. When people start living together, naturally there will be a problem of civil rights and regarding or disregarding human rights. History has always observed oppression of rights in different communities. The divine law has a solution for this problem and has planned a set of laws which can prevent from oppression of rights. The divine law says that if someone oppresses someone else's rights, he should compensate for that.
برای خدای متعال حقی قائل شده، برای انسان‌های دیگه حقی قائل شده، برای خود انسان نسبت به خودش حقی قائل شده.
In this framework of divine law, there are rights for everyone. God's rights upon humans, humans' rights upon each other, and even individual rights upon himself. Everyone should regard these rights, and if he oppresses them, he should pay back for it. Now, if God's servants do not make it to compensate for those wasted rights in this world, they will be forced to return those rights in the hereafter, and Allah will not escape these oppressions. But the interesting point is that we will have no money in the hereafter to pay for our debts or other people's rights. Therefore, either we should leave some of our good deeds to the other party or receive some of these bad deeds in case we do not have enough good deeds to pay for it. Now, Muslims who believe to surrender before the divine laws need to regard all these rights, and if it happens to oppress any of them, they shall try to compensate it in this world and not leave it to the hereafter. If there are financial rights we have oppressed or someone's reputation we have damaged, we shall compensate for all of them in this world. If it is not possible to return those rights in this world, then we have to wait to make them up in the hereafter. Thank you very much, dear listeners of iRab English Radio, Call of Islam page, for listening to this episode of the program Ulama's Speech, which was the English translation of a short speech by the late Ayatollah Khushvaqt. To find out more about this program, log on to our website, parstoday.ir, Call of Islam page. We'll leave you in Allah's care and goodbye.
In the limelight.
While Western societies were quick to believe Israeli propaganda about October 7th, much of the non-Western world remains skeptical due to the Zionist regime's staggering record of lies. In this regard, we have taken a look at world media websites and news agencies for further details. Stay tuned for the second part, please. Middle East Eye wrote, since 1967, the Zionist regime has held the entire Palestinian people who live in the West Bank, Gaza, and East al-Quds hostage. Since 2006, it incarcerated those in Gaza in the largest open-air prison in the world and is now slaughtering them unless they agree to self-expel. If anything, it is the Americans, the Brits, and the Europeans who should order their own nationals as illegal colonial settlers in the West Bank and East al-Quds to vacate the occupied territories and repatriate to their mother countries. In 2017, it was estimated that about 65,000 U.S. citizens were colonial settlers in the West Bank alone, 15% of the total settler population at the time, not counting its al-Quds. They constitute almost a third of 200,000 American settlers living in the occupied territories, and many among them consider themselves liberal and left-wing and professionals. The fact that at least 1 million Israeli Jews hold European and U.S. nationalities should impel the U.S. and European countries to invite them back to their home countries to ensure their safety and so that they can make room for the indigenous Palestinians in Gaza, whom their colonization had displaced in the first place, to return to their original homes and lands in accordance with international law and U.N. resolutions. No Arab leader, let alone the Palestinian Authority, would dare make such demands. whether in public or private, to the Americans and Europeans. Yet these reasonable demands, which are in line with international legitimacy, could contribute to ending Israel's belligerent insistence on maintaining Jewish supremacy and settler colonialization in the lands of Palestinians. The scale of Israel's savagery since October 7th has superseded its previous barbaric wars. The Zionist onslaught in 1947 to 1948 to conquer Palestine killed upwards of 13,000 Palestinians, more than 11,000 of whom were civilians, not counting the 3,700 Arab troops and irregular who were killed. The Israeli invasion of Lebanon in 1982 killed upward of 18,000 Palestinians and Lebanese civilians. The Zionist regime's ongoing genocidal war on Gaza has killed so far upwards of 20,000 Palestinian civilians, more than 15,000 confirmed dead, including 6,150 children and 4,000 women, and more than 7,000 missing under the rubble, far surpassing its previous carnage. The Israeli regime government has peddled a stream of lies, both about the Palestinian people and the democratic nature of its own Jewish supremacist colonial fake regime since 1948. Still, no matter how much its lies are regularly exposed, the Israeli regime proceeds with its propaganda unhindered by facts, certain that its fabrications are always credible to Israelis and Westerners because they are sustained by anti-Palestinian, anti-Arab, and anti-Muslim racism. It is outside the West, and especially in the Arab and Muslim worlds, that Israel's racist propaganda has no credibility whatsoever, nor should it. Meanwhile, Al Jazeera English wrote, in a new media landscape dominated not by Western media giants, but by Instagram reels, TikTok videos, and YouTube shorts, Israel's ongoing war on the besieged Gaza Strip is more than televised. Audiences across the world, and especially young people, have been watching the devastation caused by the Zionist regime's indiscriminate bombardment of the Palestinian enclave on their preferred social media platforms in real time for over a month. Anyone with internet access has seen countless videos of babies torn apart by bombs, women crushed under tons of concrete, and mothers cradling the dead bodies of their children. The Zionist regime, of course, still continues with its usual efforts and more to control the narrative about its bloody wars and decades-old occupation. It does not hesitate to brand as terrorists and assassinate Palestinian journalists who work tirelessly to tell Gaza's truth to the world. During this latest war alone, Israel killed at least 53 journalists and media workers, mostly in targeted airstrikes alongside their family members, according to the Committee to Protect Journalists. Al Jazeera Arabic's Gaza correspondent Wael Dahtou lost his wife, son, daughter, and grandson in one such attack. He received the news while he was on air. And the Zionist regime does not allow foreign journalists to enter Gaza and report on what they see freely either. CNN's Farid Zakaria recently admitted that the Israeli regime military currently only allows into the war-torn Gaza Strip foreign journalists who agree to submit all materials and footage to the Israeli military for review prior to publication. Zakaria said CNN agreed to these terms in order to provide a limited window to Israel's ops. Yet, despite all these efforts, thanks largely to social media, the Zionist regime is no longer able to conceal the truth about its conduct in Palestine. It can no longer control the narratives and the public opinion on Palestine. As mainstream media loses its ability to single-handedly decide what Western and, to a certain extent, global audiences get to witness about the situation in Palestine, the brutality of Israel's occupation has been laid out in the open for everyone to see.
علي حبه جنة وسيم النار والجنة وسي المصطفى حقا إمام الناس والجنة.
The Gate of Knowledge. Exegesis and interpretations of the supremely eloquent sermons, letters, and sayings of the Commander of the Faithful, Imam Ali ibn Abi Talib, peace be upon him.
You're listening to the program Gate of Knowledge on IRIB English Radio with Sheikh Mukhtar, a graduate of Islamic Seminary of Qom.
A'udhu billahi minash shaitani rajim. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. Wa salatu wa salamu ala Sayyidina Muhammadin wa ala Ahli Baytihi al-Tayyibin al-Tahirin. Dear listeners to IRIB English Radio, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. I welcome you all to this episode of The Gate of Knowledge, where we are discussing about the topic of a guidance to managers based on the teachings of Imam Ali alayhi salam in Nahjul Balagha. We are currently focusing on the 31st letter of Imam Ali alayhi salam, where he has mentioned very important points that can be used by people who have leadership roles. And in the previous sessions, we discussed about the fact that the heart needs to be attentive. The heart needs to have insight. The heart needs to have awareness, it has to be warned, and all of these different things. Generally, to have a heart that can take up the leadership role. But for that to happen, there are certain preliminaries. One of them, as we said, is that a person needs to keep a specific time for learning and increasing his ma'rifah and knowledge about Islam. Another thing that we discussed about in the previous session is to keep time to remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
You are listening to the program Gate of Knowledge on IRIB English Radio, a program that presents a detailed commentary of Peak of Eloquence from the Master of the Faithful, Imam Ali, peace be upon him.
Now, today we're going to discuss more about this issue that in order for the heart to become prepared for leadership roles and for managerial positions, one of the important things is to find time in your day-to-day activities to spend time with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to remember Him, because this is something very important. Why? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the Quran says, وَيَهْدِي إِلَيْهِ مَنْ يُنِيبُ. أَعُوذُ بِاللَّهِ مِنَ الشَّيْطَانِ الرَّجِيمِ. وَيَهْدِي إِلَيْهِ مَنْ يُنِيبُ. In Surah Ash-Shura, Here Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that He guides that one who turns to Him, who always turns to Him. This is such an important point, you know, because in a leadership position as a manager, you need guidance at different levels in your relationship with others, with your co-partners, with your co-workers, with you know, those above you, those below you, your family, and so many people. In every step of your life, you need that guidance. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says,